What does it look like to love someone you disagree with?
In a world where conflict over politics, theology, and personal preferences is rampant, even in the church, loving disagreement offers a better way.
This four-week series at Sycamore Creek Church explores how the work of God's Spirit can guide us toward love in the midst of tension.
You'll discover how Spirit-led relationships can heal divisions
and create space for grace.
Recently, I was wanting to buy a canoe, and so I was shopping on Facebook Marketplace to look for one, a used one, at a really good price, and I found one. It was kind of out near Perry, and it was about a 30-minute drive from my house, so I sent a direct message, DM, to the guy who was selling it, and I set up a time that I was going to come out and check out the canoe and buy it. So I put the time on my calendar, and when that time came, I drove the 30 minutes out to Perry. And when I got there, I knocked on the door and I got a unexpected surprise. The guy wasn't there. It turns out that he was a teenager, and his mom came to the door and she said, well, my son just sold the canoe. I probably looked like a little kid, okay. I got in my car and I started to drive away. Shortly after that, maybe like 10 seconds down the road, I realized, I need to go back and talk to this mom because she's got a teenager in her house who's selling stuff on Facebook Marketplace, and he's not doing a great job of communicating. I need to let her know what's going on. So I drove back, walked up to the door, knocked again, and I got another surprise. She didn't come to the door. Her son came to the door. Now, he stepped out onto the patio, and you have all of this stuff in your head about how you're going to do this well, and instead what came out was, why are you yanking me around? We got into it a little bit. He said that he messaged me. I looked for the message. He actually messaged me while I was driving, so I couldn't see it. But I was like, hey man, I want to talk to your mom. And he says, I'm an adult, talk to me. And I'm like, well, you're not acting like one. Knocked on the door, his mom came out. I explained what was going on. I didn't want anything from it. I just wanted her to know what was going on. And I drove away. Now, once I actually got through that whole thing, I'm driving home, I'm thinking, man, I missed an opportunity to do some sort of like actual mentoring of this kid by my first response. Why are you yanking me around? See, when it comes to conflict, like you got the fight, flight, or freeze, and I'm gonna fight. I don't mean physically fight, but I'm coming in hot. Like I'm ready to talk to you about what's going on, and let's work this out. But in that moment, I think a gentle approach would have actually been more effective at getting to what I was trying to do. Matt Michelotto says gentleness also requires that we know ourselves well. We have to know what our own capacity is, what our strength is. If I push hard on this, will it hurt someone? If I say things this way, will I get across my point? Or will I cause harm? Gentleness is knowing our own strength and knowing the fragility of others. All right, as I kept driving home, I processed that whole situation a little bit more, and I realized, like, from the perspective of the family in the house, this was like a mom with a single mom. There was no dad in the house at the time, with a couple of young kids, and then her teenager, and this basically like single guy stranger from Lansing showing up at her country home. I probably looked pretty threatening. In fact, I probably was a little threatening. I don't know if it would have helped or not for me to say, hey, don't worry, I'm a pastor. that might have made things worse. But that was good fodder for therapy session the next week. Sometimes we're not aware of our own strength. It's kind of like these videos. Well, watch and see.
Game over.
What if I had paused a moment, sort of gathered myself, asked, what am I really trying to do here? If I had been curious, if I had come in with gentleness instead of like the heat of disagreement. Remember what Matt Michelotto said. Gentleness is knowing your own strength and knowing the fragility of others. All right, we like to stop in the middle of our messages for you to, well, engage what we're talking about. So turn to a neighbor or write your answer in the chat question. When was a time that you hurt something or someone because you weren't gentle? You didn't know your strength. Let's talk about it. Today we're wrapping up a series called Loving Disagreement, and we've been looking at different like ways that the Holy Spirit, God's presence, impacts us. We call them the fruit of the Spirit. And today we're going to take a look at gentleness. How do we get gentleness into our loving disagreements? This whole series has been based on a book by Kathy Kong and Matt Michelotos called, well, Loving Disagreement. Remember, Matt says, gentleness is knowing our own strength and knowing the fragility of others. Gentleness is being aware, knowing our own power and being aware of the fragility or the pain or the trauma or the weak spots of those around us. I want to bring your attention to like the point of this whole message. Like, if you take away only one thing, here's the one thing I want you to take away. Power that listens, leans in, and lowers its voice often moves mountains. Or you could say it this way, gentle strength sways summits. Gentleness is rarely flashy, like it doesn't look at itself so much. But what I wanna do today is I wanna tell you some stories about, some about myself, some about others, some about kind of things that happen in the broader world, about how gentleness can sway summits when it comes to disagreement or conflict. If you don't already know him, I want to introduce you to Desmond Doss. Desmond was a conscientious objector during World War II. He was a pacifist, a Seventh-day Adventist, and he didn't really like the term conscientious objector. He preferred to be known as a conscientious cooperator. So he wanted to serve his country, and he signed up to be in war, but without a rifle, rather as a medic with, well, saving lives. He got hazed, he got abused, like his battalion, his company, they made so much fun of him. They tried to find every single weakness. They didn't want him on the they didn't want a guy without a gun on the battlefield next to them. His commanding officer, Jack Glover, said, "You're not going to be by me if you don't have a gun in your hand." And Desmond said, "Well, I will be right by you. While you're taking life, I'll be saving life." His commanding officer eventually had him submitted for a psychological evaluation, trying to find any way possible to get him out of his, like, out of the army, basically. But after going through the psychological evaluation, he was found to be completely sane and able to serve. And he was given a commission to be a medic on the battlefield without a gun. His company was eventually deployed to Okinawa, and their first mission was to take Hacksaw Ridge. Hacksaw Ridge, as you can see, is a 400-foot cliff. And the Japanese were dug in from the top. Like, that's, you don't want to be climbing up that ridge while the Japanese are fighting, like shooting down at you. Eventually, after lots of lost life, they make it to the top of the ridge. And when they get there, they call in artillery and overhead bombing support. in the process, there's chaos ensues and they retreat back down the ridge. Now, Doss stays on the top of the ridge and he stays there to like get the wounded and to lower them back down the ridge. He does this, including saving his commanding officer, Jack Glover. Not only does he save the lives or lower the injured who are American soldiers, but he also lowers the injured Japanese soldiers. Doss ended up saving 75 wounded people that day. He would go look for one and then he would come back and pray, "Lord, help me find one more." Eventually, his commanding officer, Jack Glover, said that Doss was the bravest man he had ever met. And the irony of the whole thing, Glover said, was that he didn't want him on the battlefield next to him. And yet Doss was the one who saved his life. In 1945, Harry Truman awarded Desmond Doss the Medal of Honor. And he is the only person who has ever received that medal as a conscientious objector. Doss's gentleness wasn't weakness, it was strength. It was courage under control. It was power. It was, remember, gentle strength sways summits. In 1969, PBS's funding was on the chopping block. Richard Nixon wanted to cut it from $20 million down to $10 million. Enter into the story a man who is known for wearing cardigans and talking to children in gentle voices, Mr. Rogers. Now, if you're too young to know who Mr. Rogers is, you probably know his songs through Daniel Tiger. "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Won't you be mine? Won't you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?" I feel like I should have taken my coat off at that moment and like hung it up, except there's, well, I guess I could have put it on the tree. Mr. Rogers, also known as Fred Rogers, was a Presbyterian minister. And he was called before the Senate Subcommittee on Communications and went before the senator, Senator Pastor from Rhode Island, who was known especially for grilling and coming in hot with these hearings. And in the midst of this, Mr. Rogers spoke very gently. Watch and listen.
"I give an expression of care every day to each child, to help him realize that he is unique. I end the program by saying, you've made this day a special day by just your being you. There's no person in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are. And I feel that if we in public television can only make it clear that feelings are mentionable and manageable, we will have done a great service for mental health. I think that it's much more dramatic that two men could be working out their feelings of anger, much more dramatic than showing something of gunfire. I'm constantly concerned about what our children are seeing. And for 15 years, I have tried in this country and Canada to present what I feel is a meaningful expression of care."
Do you narrate it?
I'm the host, yes. And I do all the puppets, and I write all the music, and I write all the scripts.
Well, I'm supposed to be a pretty tough guy, and this is the first time I've had goosebumps for the last 2 days.
Senator Pastor was very visibly moved by, well, a Presbyterian pastor, Mr. Rogers, known for speaking gently to children. And Pastor said to him, "Well, it looks like you just won your $20 million. The gentle voice of a man known for making space for children's feelings changed the heart of a hardened senator. Gentle strength sways summits. Here's a second chat question. When have you seen someone's gentleness save or change a situation? Why did that stick with you? Let's turn to Jesus for our third story today. Jesus is out, in the crowd, and the Pharisees is like this one of the strictest groups of religious leaders of his day, bring a woman to him who is caught in adultery or has been caught in adultery. Of course, it takes two to tango with adultery, so where's the dude at? But we're going to ignore that for a moment. So this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. She's probably like barely dressed, and the Pharisees want to know what Jesus thinks should happen. And the penalty in the Old Testament for adultery is to be stoned, not stoned by drugs, but physically stoned with, big rocks until you die. And the Pharisees, like, they're coming in hot. They're using their power. They're using their strength. They're using their position and authority. And Jesus does something unexpected. He stoops down to the ground. He starts to write in the sand. They kept demanding an answer, so Jesus stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Gentle strength sways summits. Jesus speaks to the woman about her adultery and says, "Where are your accusers?" And she's like, "Well, they're not here. They've left." And Jesus says, "Well, then I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." So Jesus restores her gently, with grace, without shaming her. He protects her sense of humanity, and he loves her with gentleness. Jesus practiced what he preached. This is the same Jesus who said, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help you get rid of the speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." Jesus speaks gently to people without power, like the interpersonal dynamic. Jesus speaks very harshly to those with power. He speaks truth to power. Now, today we're going to be looking at, and we're telling stories about the interpersonal relationships, the gentleness with which we can come to each other. The speaking truth to power, well, we talk about that quite a bit, and we're going to save that for another day. Pastor Mikkel is really good at this speaking gently to people she disagrees with. You may not have ever thought about it, but Pastor Mikkel, Pastor Mark, and I, we don't always agree. And whereas I'm ready to come in hot and talk about and argue what I think is true or what we should do, Pastor Mikkel has a sort of pump the brakes first response to just make sure that she really knows what I'm saying before she responds to it. It's something I've grown to really appreciate about her and to think of her as a model for how I could do this better as a pastor. Another person who impacted me with their gentleness in confrontation or potential conflict was my photography professor in undergraduate. His name was Greg Schreck. Greg liked to be referred to as Greg rather than Dr. Schreck because first he wasn't actually a doctor. You can't get a doctorate in photography. But after we got over the weirdness of calling our professor Greg, he was a real mentor to me in photography and in life. And when you do art or when you do photography, we would have these weekly critiques. And a critique is not a negative word. You would put your photos up on the board and people would, your fellow classmates, Greg, would describe what they see and give you feedback on it. And there was this one moment at kind of the beginning of my photography learning and training, where Greg very gently said to me, your printing could be improved. Now, this is like before digital photography. A digital camera at that time was like $10,000. So I was learning darkroom techniques, doing like developing film, printing prints. And there was something about the way that he said it so gently that I started to work really hard on paying attention to the details of my printing process, my printing art. By the end of that class, of that semester, he said to me again, I don't think you could get any better prints out of this format. Why did that help? What was successful about that kind of moment that could have been like a huge deflator for me, a huge hit on my ego, potentially conflict and disagreement? Well, it worked for a lot of reasons. One was his tone. He was very gentle. But the second was that it was a process that we did on a regular basis. He wasn't singling me out in any way. It was just the thing that you do as an artist. It also was in a supportive community where there were all of us doing this together. So it wasn't just me. It was feedback on all of us. His gentleness got the outcome that he was looking for. When we come in hot, we risk leaving others burned. But gentleness is a healing temperature. Greg said what he said to improve me, not to hurt me. Gentle strength sways summits. Here's a third chat question. Who in your life has consistently practiced gentleness? What have you learned from them? A spoken word poet had never been on America's Got Talent until Brandon Leak stepped onto the stage and swayed the judges with a gentle poem. Watch and listen.
I have two facts for you. One, I'm 6 feet tall. And two, love is the most vulnerable thing one will ever have. And you must learn to hold on to it loosely so when it leaves, it won't exit so painfully. On July 14th, 1996, an angel was brought to this earth. Her name, Danielle Marie Gibson, but I only know her as Puff. Her smile is as wide as the universe. Her eyes, they glimmer like the stars. She is my world and my sister. I, just 4 years old at the time, learned what it meant to love selflessly for on days in which my strength was but knee high. Seeing her smiling face would make my soul fly. But on March 23rd, 1997, I've been ground bound because she left Earth to go back home amongst the stars, right next to God, but I was left here to manufacture wings out of tears and broken dreams, yet I'm still haunted by these nightmares because I have a really creative mind, and sometimes it designs these alternate realities where she is still here, still alive, and all the things I wish we could have done are played again and again and again, and I'm tired of playing God because I got to come to terms with the fact that my sister ain't never coming back. And that's the cost of love. Caring for someone so much that you can't imagine living life without them. Staring at a grave like, how about I trade my 6 feet for yours, but that's not real. And I know I said earlier to hold on to love loosely, so when it leaves, it won't exit so painfully. But if this pain and these memories are all that I got left of you, I won't never regret these scars from just trying to hold on to you.
Brandon ended up getting the golden buzzer from Howie Mandel. He went on to win the 15th season, $1 million, a show in Vegas, and also his very own tour. Gentleness in delivery made the message hit that much harder. St. Paul says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. gentleness isn't optional. It's essential. It's how the spirit works to bring about transformation. Or I think about the musical Hamilton and the character Alexander Hamilton, both in real life and in the musical. The guy likes to come in hot. Like, if you know anything about him, he's like ready to argue. He's ready to write. He's ready to like take his shot. This musical is full of loud, bold, flashy, grand songs like My Shot or the Schuyler Sisters or Ten Dual Commandments or Right Hand Man. But then there's this moment in the musical, and it's a very quiet, very simple moment. And it's the moment where he sings about being a dad. And Aaron Burr, his kind of chief rival through this whole thing, is also singing about being a dad. The multiple layers of irony and power, well, they coalesced to really make the one moment in the musical where I cried. And I didn't just cry, I sobbed. So let's watch and listen.
Dear Theodosia, what to say to you? You have my eyes, you have your mother's name. When you came into the world, you cried and it broke my heart. I'm dedicating every day to you. Domestic life was never quite my style. When you smile, you knock me out, I fall apart. And I thought I was so smart. You will come of age with our young nation. We'll bleed and fight for you. We'll make it right for you. If we lay a strong enough foundation, we'll pass it on to you. We'll give the world to you, and you'll blow us all away. Someday, someday. Yeah, you'll blow us all away. Someday, someday.
Philip, when you smile, I am undone, my son. Look at my son. Pride is not the word I'm looking for. There is so much more inside me now. Oh, Philip, you outshine the morning sun, my son. When you smile, I fall apart. And I thought I was so smart. My father wasn't around.
My father wasn't around.
Swear that I'll be around for you. I'll do whatever it takes.
I'll make a million mistakes.
I'll make the world safe and sound for you. We'll come of age with our young nation. We'll bleed and fight for you. We'll make it right for you. We lay a strong enough foundation. We'll pass it on to you. We'll give the world to you, and you'll blow us all away. Someday, someday. Yeah, you'll blow us all away. Someday,
From Desmond Doss to Mr. Rogers, from Hamilton to Jesus, from Brandon Leak to your own story, the culture says, shout louder, fight harder, win bigger. But the Spirit whispers, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Power that listens, leans in, and lowers its voice often moves mountains. Gentle strength sways summits. Where's one place in your life where gentleness just might change everything? Let's talk about it.